You know that we love our on-demand listeners here at Lutheran Public Radio. Now, if you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. in 2008, please consider making a year-end gift to help support this worldwide outreach. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and mail it to LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us as we approach the end of 2008. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, coming to you live this Tuesday, the 9th of December. For the next few minutes, Christianity and poetry, and then we'll hear about a recent Christian Century Forum of Christian scholars on the subject of hell. It's making a comeback, believe it or not. Andrew Doss will join us in the last hour of the program to talk about infant baptism, part two of a three-part daily series we're doing with Dr. Doss on baptism. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. For most of us, it was just a subject studied during high school, a segment of English class or literature class. We had to read some poems, maybe attempt to write one or two, and then left it far behind. Does poetry go well with Christianity? Do the two, in some sense, historically walk hand in hand? Pastor Kurt Reinhardt is our guest, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Kurtzville, Ontario, Canada, author of a new book of poems titled My Light and My Salvation. Pastor Reinhardt, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me with you today.
How far back does the connection between the Christian faith and poetry go?
Well, I have to begin by saying I'm not actually an expert on poetry. I have written it for a large part of my life, but I think we can find it right in the New Testament itself and going back further than that. Of course, most people realize that the Psalms themselves are poems or hymns that were sung by God's people of old. Right into the very beginnings of the Scripture, we see poetry in some form or another. In other words, the truths of God set down in a verse form, a way that can be fairly easily remembered and that can bring comfort to the believer with the truths that God has set forth about himself. And we see that flowing through into the life of the church. I remember myself being in Israel when I was at seminary and in the evening singing evening prayer by the Mediterranean as the sun went down, and particularly singing the Joyous Light of Glory, which is a very early Christian hymn, and just having that connection with the faithful who've gone before me. And many of the songs that we sing in the church have this long history that connect us back to our Lord and what he's done for us and those who've gone before us.
How would you define poetry?
Well, I think as I kind of laid out, it's a truth that or a word or a thought that's set down using words, perhaps in a sparing way, but in such a way to try and relate that truth with to make an impact on the hearer. And so there are, you know, poems that are set to a regular meter, which we experience in the church and in our hymnody. But then there are also more free style and free verse poems that simply use words and laid out in a particular pattern that you follow and that relates or focuses on one idea or a particular aspect of in Christian poetry of our faith. that helps to bring the reader's mind back to some truth about the Lord and what he does for us.
One of the things I noticed in looking over the poems in the book, My Light and My Salvation, is the degree to which you were able, through any individual poem, to focus and expand upon one single idea, explore it in a way that perhaps writing a theological treatise or an essay wouldn't necessarily do, and certainly in a much briefer way as well.
Yeah, I think for me, one of the challenges of my youth was writing, and particularly found the task of writing long texts very daunting, but I really was drawn to the idea right from grade school of being able to kind of focus in on something and lay it down, really ponder it, and then use words to expand the image that I was seeing. So right within our Lord's parables to us, there's always these images that he brings to mind and then sort of unpacks them for us to give us some truth about himself and what he's come to do for us. And I think that's what, you know, I'm striving to do. So in some ways, when people hear the word poetry, it can be kind of a frightening word, you know, as you mentioned, kind of English class or... you know, sometimes in a lot of modern writing, it can seem fairly obscure, except to the real experts or someone who has studied a lot of it. Where my goal here, of course, is to present Christ, and bearing in mind what St. Paul says in his epistle to the Romans, that you know that you can't believe unless you hear. And so trying to present those images and truths about Christ in a simple way without being simplistic, but in such a way that people can see him and hear of what he would do for them. And I think that's what I'm trying, or I've tried to do, as much for myself as for others who might happen to read them. Because the need often begins with my own life and my own need to see him. And then those that have been entrusted to my care. So a lot of the things that I've written have actually been written for members of the parish at various times in their lives and in various areas of need.
The one that struck me that you had written, and perhaps because of its simplicity, but also because of... I think how profound the thing it discusses is. It's called The Sign of the Cross, where it's almost like you are walking the reader through this poem, through the sign of the cross and its real meaning. Take us into that poem, if you would.
Okay, that one I wrote some time ago, and was actually shortly after I had begun my studies at seminary. It was shortly after the time I discovered that, in fact, this was making the sign of the cross was a part of our piety or our practice in the Lutheran Church. Prior to that, I'd often been told that it was something that other denominations did, but not us. What it really struck me as I started to embrace the practice that that there truly was this place where that action was actually not only reminding myself, but it involved a prayer to God. As you called upon God's name and made the sign of the cross over yourself, there was a claiming of the... of the gift of Christ that had been given to us through holy baptism, of having his death marked on my own body and soul, that he had rescued me in this powerful way, and that every time that action's done, that it brings that to mind and strengthens that truth. Now, had you wanted me to actually read it, or?
Well, we've got about a minute and a half here. Why don't you read through it briefly, if you would?
Okay. The sign of the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The invocation, a supplication, a holy prayer calling on. The King and Judge of all offenses, the Lord of all, the Triune One. The holy sign carved through air, forehead down, across the heart. Blazoned and burned with cleansing fire, forever marked, etched in mind, is the Holy Cross. Remember, scribed onto body with his blood, seared onto soul with his life, when water washed to drown and save, all that was lost was brought to life by his Holy Cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the invocation, a supplication, a holy prayer calling on. By the cross, our Abba Father, the Lord of all, the Triune One.
Folks, you can read more about this new book of poems called My Light and My Salvation at our website, issuezetc.org. Click on demand, you'll find out more about it. It's published by Redeemer Press. Pastor Kurt Reinhardt is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Kurtzville, Ontario, Canada, author of this new book of poems titled My Light and My Salvation. Pastor Reinhardt, thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back from this break, Mark Tooley will bring us up to date. The Christian Century is a magazine that's been there for a long, long time, long the bastion of ever more liberal scholarship and thinking, but of late they had a forum on a subject a bit alien to liberal Christianity, the subject of hell. And it was rather well received. In fact, hell was deemed to be, by most, a necessary part of the Christian faith and of teaching. We'll find out more about this forum on hell with Mark Tooley, director of the UM Action for the Institute on Religion and Democracy based in Washington, D.C., author of an article in the latest issue of Touchstone magazine titled Hell's Back. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned.
What is it, Captain?
Whatever it is, it's incredibly advanced.
Hey, iPhone users, you can now listen to Issues Etc. live on your iPhone. Find out by going to piratechristianradio.com and click the iPhone link on the homepage. You no longer have to sit by your PC, laptop, or home radio to listen to Issues Etc. live. piratechristianradio.com and look for the iPhone icon.
With something much, much more. And it's going to change everything.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Yvonne Ellenbass, James Ellenbass, Daniel Shoup, Rebecca Johnson, Ron Olson, David Buber, Henry Schrader, Pastor Bamer, Renee Minton, and Sarah Hainer. Thanks for your support.
A lot of us across this country are really thankful to be hearing your voices again.
Dr. Albert Moeller, president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, with his thoughts on the return of Issues Etc.
It's great to be with you guys on Issues Etc. Welcome back. A lot of us across this country are really thankful to be hearing your voices again. It's always great to be with you guys.
We're Talk Radio for the Thinking Christian, Issues Etc. Listen live or on demand at www.issuesetc.org.